And you did, didn't you?
I generally do.
We're starting over again. Right?
Be a recreation Sunday night. I'm out.
The end of all our exploring is to find ourselves where we started and know the place for the very first time. So here we are in Brachos, beginning of the seventh parak of Brachos. Brachos is a fascinating mesechta. It's my favorite mesechta because I studied it many times when I was in yeshiva. And it's broken down half-half. Half of it is about tefillah and half of it is about actual Brachos. So we're now in the half about Brachos. Maybe we'll go back and do some tefillah. I don't know what we're going to do this cycle. Maybe we'll sit on certain mesechtas more than others. And also the feedback was to do a little bit more Gemara. So this time we're actually going to do almost a full block. We're going to start here at the top of Mem Hei Amud Aleph, which is the beginning of the parak, and we're going to go all the way to the bottom of Mem Hei Amud Beis. And then, if we have time, we'll do some of the stuff on the sheet. Halacha L'maisa. This seventh parak is about Zimun. Right? It starts with Shlosha Sha'achlu. That's the hint right there. So the Mishnah says, Shlosha Sha'achlu ka'achas chayavin lezamin. Three people who eat together. The Mishnah doesn't say it, but we know it's talking about eating bread together, right? Such that they have to make a berkat hamazon. Chayavin lezamin. They have to do something called Zimun. Now, the Mishnah gets into what kinds of foods do you do Zimun on? Which is also another way of saying what kinds of foods do you make berkat hamazon. But we're not talking about like different types of foods in terms of different kinds of grains or how it was cooked or anything, but rather certain foods are asr to eat and certain foods are mutter to eat. And the Mishnah is going to end up saying that if it's something that's mutter to eat, then you make a zimun. But if it's something that's not, you don't do a zimun. So here are some examples of things that are mutter to eat, or not are mutter, but are not explicitly asr, in a way that you can't make berkat hamazon. Achal d'mai u'maiser rishon shnitla chumaso maser sheni v'hektesh shniftu v'hashamash sh'achal kezayis v'hakusi mezamnin alav. Okay, what are these cases? So the first one is d'mai. What's d'mai?
Untithed produce.
Is it untithed produce? Or is it?
Suffolk.
Maybe untithed produce. Where does the word d'mai come from? Chazal say, duh, mai. You don't know what it is. It may have been tithed. It may not have been tithed because it's the produce from an amar. So you don't know. You don't know what he did. So it may be okay. It may not be okay. It's suffik. So maiser or maiser rishon shenitla nitla chumaso. What's maiser rishon shenitla chumaso? What kinds of tithes do you have to take from food when you want to eat it? What's the first thing you have to take?
Truma
gedola, right? Truma gedola is given to the
Kohen.
What's the next thing you have to take?
Maaser
Rishon. Maaser Rishon is given to the
Levi.
What does the Levi have to do with his Maaser Rishon?
He also has to give
Truma. Truma is Maaser to the Kohen, right? And then the next thing is going to be Truma is going to be Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani, depending on the year, right? So what's this case? This is a case of Maaser Rishon Shenitla Trumaso. What does that mean? What happened here? This is Maaser Rishon of a Levi, right? The Levi did Maaser Rishon. The Trumas Maaser, right, was given, but Trumas Maaser was given, but they didn't do Truma Gedoli yet.
No, I don't know anything. I thought I
did it. Right? Nitla truma. So this is truma's meiser shalo shala levi lahafrish. The truma, the mice, the levi gave truma. So what's wrong with it? Why would anybody think there'd be any problem with this? The answer is the levi took his meiser
before
the kohen took his first truma. In other words, you had produce in the field, right? And the levi slipped in there before the kohen could get his stuff, and he took his meiser rishon. He gave his truma's meiser to the kohen from there, but the original truma gedol hadn't been taken yet.
Given, not taken. Doesn't the truma and the maaser levi, the maaser rishon have to be given rather than he can go and take it?
I don't remember, but either way, the point over here is that the it's happening before. That's what's suspicious about it. It's okay, b'diavad, but it is somewhat suspicious. That's another case. Maaser sheni v'hekdesh sheniftu. Here, there's really nothing suspicious about it. It's just that it might look a little bad. You didn't do anything wrong here. What did you do? What do you do with maaser sheni? What are you supposed to do with it? Supposed to take it to Yerushalayim. If you don't want to take it to Yerushalayim, what can you do? You can redeem it with money, right? So that's what you did over here. Excuse me. Or Hekdesh, same thing. You could be po the Hekdesh. So you did that, and that you ate with it. Vashamish achal kazayis, or the shamish is the person that's basically a waiter, and he's sitting down to eat with you. That's okay. And the kusi, what's a kusi? The person who is Jewish, but not the best. He also, though, he is Jewish, so it's okay to do zimun with him. Benigud, these are all cases where you're allowed to do zimun for these cases. Benigud le achal tavel umaiserishin shalonit yotramasa umaiser sheni vehekde shaloniftu vashamish achal pachos mizais vahanachri in vizamin alav. All the other cases, pure tevel. Tevel is stuff that definitely has not had anything taken from it. This is Meiser Rishon that the Nelevi has, but he didn't yet do his Chumas Meiser. He didn't give anything to the Kohen, so it's basically Tevel still. The Shamish that did not have a Kezias, he can't be one of the three. Or an Achri, who doesn't matter how much he had, he definitely can't be one of the three. Right? Ein Mezamdin Alav. Then finally, Nashim Bavadim Uktanim Ein Mezamdin Alehen. We're going to have to revisit this. With women and with children, and with avadim, you don't do a zimun. Ad kama mezamnin an kezayis or v'yidomei ad kebeitza. How much do you have to have in order to do a zimun? Each person has to have a kezayis, or each person has to have a kebeitza. Kebeitza being bigger. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. Any questions on the Mishnah? No. Yeah, about four different halachos over here. One was about. One was. You have to do zimun when you have three people that eat together. The other is that there are certain things, certain types of isurim that we don't do zimun for, and some things that look like isurim that we do zimun for. And then there was that women and children can't be included or at least be counted for a zimun. And finally, there was how much do you have to eat in order to do a zimun, which is a kezayis. All right? I know it's a kezayis because the little Rambam test over there is on the kezayis part. So that's usually what the halacha is. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. Now let's do the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Minani Mili. What's Minani Mili? From where do we know? How do we know that? How do we know this? Minala and Minani Mili, all words for, how do we know this? What's the source? Amar Avasi, Damar Kara, Gadula Shemiti, Unaromama Shemo Yachdaf. That's the one of the sources for Zimun. How is that a source for Zimun? So take a look at Rashi on the side. There's three people in the pasuk. Take a look at Rashi on the side. Gadol Hashemiti, Hare Shlosha, V'chein Ekra, Havu Godel, Hayachid Omer L'Shnayim. How does it work? It says Ekra, and it says Havu. So there's one person saying Havu, and he's saying it to the other people. So that's a total of three people. So when you're calling out to Hashem, you have three people. This pasuk is actually used as a source for something else also. Does anybody know? I think Berachas HaTorah itself. I think, if I remember correctly, Gadol Hashem Iti is used for Berachas HaTorah, which I forget where it is. We learned it last time, actually. I don't remember where it is, though. I wrote it down. Did I? This is from my year in Israel. That's why it's got all these fun colors on it. But then Rabbi Abba has a different source. Rabbi Abba Amar Mahacha, Kishem Hashem Ekra Havugodel Elokeinu. How is that a source for Zimun? Same reason. How does it work? Ekra is one, right? Havu, it's the same thing. Gadul Hashem Iti was plural, and Iti was singular. So here, Havu Godel is plural, and Ekra is singular. So you have three people. How does the Gemara know that these are talking about Zimun? Not sure. How would we know? Well, one of them is a pasuk in Tehillim, and one of them is a pasuk in Devarim. So that could be important in terms of figuring out whether it's Daraisa or Darabana.
The Ramash Moyachtav is like talking about doing this together. You know, like together we shall like exalt Hashem's name.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily relate to. It's certainly something to do with Tefillah of some sort. That we're going to, you know, combine together and do this act of exalting Hashem.
Right.
The second one, Habu Kodo Lutenu, is that the same?
I mean, they're pretty much the same theme. That's for sure. Okay.
There's no hint of food anywhere near that.
Maybe in the context.
The context is Moshe, in Devarim at least.
That's somewhere in Devarim, isn't it?
Yeah, no, but this is in Ha'azinu, I think. This is in Ha'azinu.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I think the answer is this. And actually, this may, you know, I told you before that this is also one of the sources for Berachas HaTorah. I think the answer is this. How many brachas do we have from the Torah?
One,
maybe two.
Sorry, what was the question?
How many brachas do we have from the Torah? How many brachas that we say nowadays do we have from Daraisa?
Yeah, that's
one, maybe two. Berachas HaMazon for sure. V'achata v'sevata v'rachta. Right? And Berachas HaTorah is Machlokas Rishonim. I think we generally assume that it is Daraisa, like the Ramban. So, presumably, the idea would be, when are we Kishem Hashem Ekra? When do we call out in Hashem's name?
Yeah, but it could be a source.
When we bench. But, first of all, it may be that davening is Darabanan anyways.
Yeah,
at least the davening that we have.
This is the
but we know that there is a time when we call out in Hashem's name, Echalta
v'sevata v'rachta. And therefore, maybe you don't need this, because you know it somewhere else.
No, what I mean to say is, if we know... Tefillah we don't know about yet, but we definitely know that V'achalta v'sevata v'rachta es Hashem Elokecha, we say Hashem's name in a bracha. So this could easily be referring to Berachas HaMazon. It could also be referring to Tefillah, but it could easily be talking about Berachas HaMazon because it's the only one we actually have the source for.
This is talking about the nature of how you do it rather than the fact you do it exactly. This is from here we're learning out it's three people, not that there's a to begin with.
It might
seems.
Be a source for Berachas HaTorah. So I don't need completely.
Which is the same. But it's, no, my point would be the same, though. It would be along the lines of, whatever this pasuk means, it must be referring to a crying out in God's name that we already know about. So it could be like...
That necessarily agree.
Why? It says, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, Habugod El Elokein.
When you call out, so it's not teaching you, it's saying that when you do something that's already written.
That's the...
Why does that mean it is not teaching you?
What would indicate to you that it would be teaching us a new thing?
Because somewhere else it tells you you have to bench, and here it's telling you something different.
Right, they're telling you have to bench, and here it's telling you have to do... If you have three people, you have to do a zoom, and that's totally different.
One way, another way is... Anyway...
No, it's possible. It's possible. But I think that's where they're getting at, though. Okay, so Amar Rav Chanan Bar Abba. Minayin lo'ona amen shelo yagbiya kolo yoser min ha-mevarech. How do we know that a person saying Amen to a bracha shouldn't say the Amen louder than the bracha itself, right? Sometimes you have people doing that, right? Kids like to do that at the table. Yeah. When they get excited, you bake hamotzi and then they start yelling Amen, Amen, Amen as loud as they can. So you're not supposed to do that if you're not a kid. Shneemar, Gadul Hashem Itinu Ramash Mayachdav. Same pasuk. They learn it from there. How does it work? Gadul Hashem Itinu Ramash Mo Yachdav. So the idea is that we're going to call out to God's name together, not one of them louder than the other. So it's not saying that the person making the bracha has to be loud and the person saying Amen is saying they should be the same. It should be basically together. The voices should rise together. Amar b'shem ben Pazi, minayin she'ein ha'targim rashai l'hagbia kol yosef min ha'mekore. It used to be that when you had kriyas ha'torah, so one person would read the Torah and then there would be a person standing on the side translating into Aramaic the whole time. In Taimani communities, they still do this. in many Taimani communities. They still do that. So this says, though, that when you have such a situation, you should not have the Metargim louder than the Baal Koreh. The Metargim should not be louder. How do you know? Shneimar Moshe Yidaber VeElohim Ya'anenu B'kol. Because when Moshe and God were transmitting the Torah, how did it work? She'ein tam lomer bakol, ma tam lomer bakol, v'kolo shel Moshe. In other words, Hashem would respond to Moshe, that's what it sounds like, with the same voice. Right? If you look in Tosfos, Tosfos wonders, how does this work exactly? Let's see, is there Rashi before we get to the Tosfos? No. If you look at Tosfos, so second Tosfos in the wide lines, it says, B'kolo shel Moshe. It says, V'im tomar, heichi maisi raya mi Moshe. How could you bring a proof from Moshe Rabbeinu? Ha tzarich latui de Moshe hei metargim, v'lo ya merim kolo yoser mi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It should be that Moshe is the one who's metargim, right? For God. He's the one who's translating the Torah for God. And he shouldn't be going louder than God. Shehei HaKoreh. And God is the one who is Korev, who may be, but it says, Shakadish Baruch Haya Korev, or Moshe Haya Mitargim, but it switches it. It says that Moshe, it says that God was calling out, and Moshe was Mitargim. In other words, why is the order like this, I think? Sorry. What he's pointing out is that, what it should be telling us is that Moshe was not going louder than God. But instead, it was telling us that God would call out and Moshe would metargim. Moshe would be calling out with all of his might. He wanted everybody to hear him, so he would call out as loud as he could. But God, who was the transmitter of the Torah, the original transmitter, right? He's the Koreh. He didn't have to call out loud, because who was listening? Only Moshe. Only Moshe was listening. V'afilu achi haya magbia kolosh kedei shelo yehei kolosh al Moshe hametargim ram yoter mikolosh al kodesh baruch hu shehaya koreh. But nevertheless, God would call out loud, just as loud as Moshe, because he didn't want a situation where Moshe's voice would be louder. And that's the source for this idea. This relationship between God's voice and Moshe's voice teaches us that the Baal Koreh should always be louder than the metargim.
What is the connection between, I mean, how do we get from the one to the other? On the one end, we're saying, what's the source for Brikat HaMazon? We bring two psukim.
Mm-hmm.
Do we just finish that and we can move on to something else?
It's definitely a stream of consciousness. In other words, we took this pasuk of Kishem Hashem,
right.
Of Gadol Hashem, and then Rav Chanan Bar Abba had a different teaching about this pasuk. Right? It's the same pasuk that he goes after.
Associative.
Okay.
So. And then once we're on the topic of she'eno yogbia koloyo termina bevarich, right? So then it goes to that the Baal Koreh shouldn't be, that the metargim shouldn't be louder, right? That's the stream.
Okay.
And then there's a brisa tani na mihachi means that there is a brisa that also says this, that backs this up. Eino metargim rashai lahagbia koloyo yosef min hakoreh v'miyef shal lahagtargim hagbia koloyo keneged hakoreh. And if the metargim can't be as loud as the koreh, so the koreh should be lower. In other words, they're supposed to be the same. It's not supposed to be one is much louder than the other. They're supposed to be the same. Even the Baal Koreh has to lower his voice for the metargim.
Is that because the public was basically hearing the metargim and not really listening to the...
They were supposed to hear both. They wouldn't be doing it at the exact same time.
Almost like the, from what you said before, the Metargim just had to hear the Baal Koreh and then amplify to the... Just like you explained with Ash, Moshe just had to listen to the way you said
to God before, and then explain it to everybody. But
the sort of volume levels were different because they were talking to... One was an intimate conversation and one was then being amplified.
Right. Right. So the limud over here is that everything should be heard.
Right.
Everything
even
should be heard.
Moshe, Hashem still spoke loudly.
Yeah. I would imagine that the lesson is that if you don't have the situation, then you're lacking transparency, right? Because what are people going to say? They're going to say, well, how do we know that God said that? We didn't hear him. We didn't hear God.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Muhammad was told it in
In every other religion, in every other religion, you have one person who's transmitting everything to everybody. The whole idea of Har Sinai was that everybody would end up hearing. Even if they didn't understand, that was the point. And so over here as well, with the Metargim and the Baal Koreh, so even if you don't understand the Baal Koreh, you still want to hear him so that you know that, or at least that you can have some sense. It's very hard for the Metargim to flat out lie about what the Baal Koreh is saying if everybody can hear the Baal Koreh. I imagine it would be...
Someone's going to understand
it. Yeah, exactly.
Just on the Metargim, is the Metargim's Tirgum Kavua fixed like it is Saint Unclus? Or is he...
Presumably, is he, yeah.
Kind of like
I think,
improvising the Tirgum?
No, I think... well, it's hard to tell exactly... Well, here it's probably the Metargim of Unclus. Because the thing is, Targum is also used for even just like what you said before about basically sometimes amplifying. In other words, sometimes a teacher would be teaching the Torah Shabbat Peh and he wouldn't be loud enough so that it had to be amplified. But here that's not talking about that, obviously. Here it's talking about just translating. So I think, yes, they would use the Unclus for Chumash, and they would use Targum Yonas on Ben Uziel for Navi and Ksuvim.
There's no Targum for Unclus?
Well, the Gemara in Megillah says that Unclus is Allah is from Sinai.
When he became Jewish.
Well, it's hard to understand what it means, because, yeah, he was a convert, but what the implication of the Gemara is that he learned it from the Tanaim, who had it from Sinai.
I think that would be the third century.
In what period?
Between
Sinai and... No, there was, and then it got forgotten, and then it was re-remembered. That's what the Gemara in Megillah says.
I think that it's from the 3rd century. You know?
Yeah, what was his name?
I think earlier. Because he learned from the Tanaim. He learned from Rabbi Yeshua. Well, it's not clear. It's not clear where. Yeah, it's not clear at all. The Gemara Megillah seems to assume that it was, I think, 1st century, because he learned it from Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lezer, I think. Which is all the way first century.
The first generation of the Tanaim.
Yeah. But the Yerushalmi gives him a different name. Which I'm forgetting right now. And then there are some scholars who say it was even way later. But the Gemara Megillah seems to assume that it was all the way at the beginning. Okay, so that's the beginning of the Gemara. The next part, now we're going to really get into the Zimun, into cases. Itmar, what's Itmar? So Itmar is usually a machlokas amoraim, right? We have like Tanai, Tafnun Aleph Yud is a machlokas Tanaim. Itmar is a machlokas amoraim. What?
It's just that based on the story that I was on the Gemara, it wouldn't have been from the very beginning. In terms of who he called up to discuss whether or not to go. And call up Titus and...
Titus was Rabbi Akiva's contemporary, so that's all the way first generation.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but it wasn't Titus. It was he didn't talk to Titus. Oh, yeah, he was his uncle. Yeah, yeah.
What are they doing to you now?
What?
What are they doing to you now?
Well, he ended up converting everybody who came to meet him. That's what the Gemara says. Itmar shnayim shachlu ka'achas. What if you have two people? Just a couple of guys sitting around eating, and they finish the meal. Pligi Rav Rabbi Yochanan. Rav and Rabbi Yochanan have a machlokas. Chad amar imatzu lezamin mezamnin, v'chad amar imatzu lezamin ein mezamnin. One of them, we don't know yet who, either Rav or Rabbi Yochanan, says that you can have a zimun if you want with two people. And the other one says, no, you can't. You can't have a zimun. You can't do a bosai neverich. Tanan. So for the next few lines,
if they want, it's not that they are, you know, they have to.
Yes, as opposed to the Mishnah, which says,
Shlosha
shachlu chayavin lezamin, right? Yeah, that's going to be essential. So the Gemara for the next several lines is going to be discussing this machloka. So first, it says, what about our Mishnah? Tanan, shlosha shachlu kachas chayavin lezamin. 3. I don't see anything about 2. So Gemara's immediate answer is? Shloshi. So first of all, it says Shloshi in Shneim Lo. Question is three, not two. Hasam Chova Hacharishus. Hasam there in the Mishnah. It's a chova. It's an obligation for three. Hacha Rishus. Over here, when you have two, maybe it's a Rishus. In other words, there's no proof from the Mishnah. The Mishnah could be talking about the level of obligation, and the Amorayim are talking about the level of, and a different, you know, teaching could be the level of volunteering, Rishus. So there's no conclusive evidence from there. Tashma is, they're trying to bring a proof, one way or the other. Shlosha shachlu ka'achas chayavin lezamin ve'in rishayim lechalek. Oh, but there's another Mishnah that says that three people who eat together have to do zimun and they're not allowed to separate. Shlosha in shneim lo. So this is going to go the same way, right? It says three people, not two. We don't see any mention of two. Shani hasam dekavaluhu b'chova me'ikara. Yeah. When you're not allowed to separate, you're not allowed to separate if you had three. If you had three when you started. But two is a whole different story. Okay, another proof. Tashma, hashamish, shahayam hashamish ala shnayim, harei ze ochali mahem, af api shalonat nula rishus. If you have a waiter, right, who's serving two people who are eating, so he can eat with them even if they don't give him permission to sit down and eat with them. He just sits down, starts eating with them, pulls up a chair, sits down and starts eating with them. Hold on. But if he was serving three people, he can't pull up a seat. What's going on in here? What's this talking about? So what?
Two can't.
So therefore, and we allow him to do it even against their will. You know, even if they say, "What? It's past Nishtah, we can't sit with you. You're a servant. You're a waiter."
That doesn't prove it because it could be the one con.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he can sit and join them.
I don't understand.
Because it could be that he needs the zimun.
He's not eating. He's just not eating.
Well, he is. He's sitting down eating with them.
No, the point is. The point is the Bryce is teaching that if you're a waiter and you're waiting on two people, you're not eating. You're waiting on two people. They can't do a zimun, right? This is what Rashi says. If you look at Rashi, ochel imahem en kan gaiva. It's not a problem for the waiter to sit down and eat with them. Because it's better that he can help them achieve zimun. Vishnaim, so the Gemara is saying, Ishnaim is amnin, amai, nichaluhu, belavdi de nami ibao mizamne. If two people can do a zimun by themselves,
if they had Rishut, they wouldn't have needed him.
If they could have done a zimun by themselves, then he doesn't add anything, and therefore.
Isn't he adding by answering? I mean, isn't three better than two?
Why? Two is good enough.
Maybe it's a high level. Like ten's a high level than three.
Why? Why would three be? Like, why would three be better than two?
Are
four better than three?
No.
Are five better than four? How do I know? How do I know that four is not better than three?
Well, it depends what.
How do I know from right here? It says that if there are three people sitting, the waiter's not allowed to sit down and eat with them.
It doesn't add anything.
It also depends on how you interpret havul kavur. Because what actually havul means, havul tzavka means be plural, therefore it's two, or it means a great number, so the more people add three actually is better.
Havul could, I mean, along your lines, havul could have meant us, like, let's.
Yeah, kavur Hashem, the more people, the greater the.
It's true, it's the same with the ekra and the havul. You need the three for that, for the pasuk to work. You need the ekra, you need the.
So are we trying to say that this teaches us that the two cannot make a mizamim?
Yes, that's the implication of the Gemara right now.
But if you had nine people, but it's not allowed to daven. It's rishus together. Two are allowed to make a zimun.
But nine people can't do a minyan.
No, they can't. But they can daven together. So it's a slightly different level.
What do you mean by daven together?
They can daven.
Daven separately together. Yeah. What is that? So,
two different kavanos on together.
So no, we're talking about here them getting together and saying, you know,
there's no chiyuv.
So it's
a level.
Right, but can they do it at all?
So it's not a knockout argument because it's not clear that it's not clear that three isn't better than two. In other words,
exactly, because three is a chiyuv.
It just because.
Ah.
Exactly.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
From here, so from here, to here, it connects it up a little.
Good.
Where three to four does.
Oh, you didn't say that before. Okay. So that's what Gemara says. The Gemara says, Shani Hasam, did Nichalu, the Mikvalu, Bechova. It's always better to have a Chova than it is to have a Rishus. It's better to be Chayav in a mitzvah than it is to do it voluntarily. How do we know that?
Why isn't the Gemara, though, even just saying that the Shamash is there, it's irrelevant because it's not worth the Biachas? He just happens to be there with the credit. They're not actually eating together. It's two people eating, one person in the vicinity. That's not so sure after Biachas.
You're right, it's not.
But
so,
the Gemara doesn't bring that as a reason. It's speaking about whether it's total or not, whether it's Korban or not.
No, hold on. The Bryce is the one who says that if you have two people eating together, then the Shamish should sit down and eat with them. So they can have a mezumin, right? So the Gemara said, this is proof, clearly, that two people can't do a zimun, because if two people could do a zimun, then there would be no need. I think you're wondering, why do we need to have a zimun? If he's not eating with them. So two people can eat and not have a zimun.
Yeah.
But that's your question on the Bryce. It's not a question on the Gemara's limud. You're wondering, why do you have to force a zimun? That's a decent question, but for now, once we say that, no, it's good to have, Rashi says, nichaluhu, it's good, the maise luhu li zei zimun. It's better to have a zimun than to not have a zimun. But the Gemara wants to know, if we already have a zimun, then what do we need the shamish for? So the Gemara's answer to that is, we do have a zimun, but it's only a voluntary zimun. And a voluntary zimun is qualitatively different than an obligatory zimun, to the degree that we would allow the Shamish to break etiquette and sit down and eat with them. Now,
on the Bryce, sorry, because it doesn't address the point in the Gemara, and sort of going on the track, it's an odd construct to me that the focus is on the Shamish to help the other two do their mitzvah. They've not called him over to join them because they want a zimun.
Right.
He is, it's like, it's
Buffing
a...
In.
He's creating a mitzvah.
They
don't have a chiyuv.
He wants to
be mechayev.
To be mechayev. It's like a bizarre, right? It's not calling him over, join to enable us. He's initiating this.
Spiritual
team. It's the reverse of Naiva.
I mean, he's great. Well, I mean, well, I'll answer a different question, and it might be the answer to that. I said to you before, how do we know that it's better to be obligated? So if you look at Rashi at the top, what's the phrase? I'm sure you know this phrase. Gadol ha-mitzuveh. Right? What's he referring to? What's he quoting? The Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin that says that the reason...
Get better reward.
What?
You get better reward for things you're high
up. Right, that's right. The famous story about Rav Yosef, who was blind, at first he thought, the Gemara says, at first he thought that Gadol ha'eno mitzuveh ve'oseh, because it makes sense. If you're not obligated and you do it anyways, certainly that should be better. So he said, I'm going to give $100 to anybody who can prove to me that a summah, that a blind person, is not chayav in mitzvahs. Because then I'm voluntarily doing mitzvahs, right? And then when he found out, no, gadol mitzuveh v'osa, mishayin mitzuveh v'osa. When he found out that it's better to be obligated and then to do mitzvahs, so then he said, I'll give $100 to anybody who can prove that a summah is chayav in mitzvahs. And then when he found out that a summah was chayav in mitzvahs, so he threw a party. That's what the Gemara in Kedushin says.
See him, my note.
It was a Yom Tavala Rabbana. That's what it says. Although I just mentioned Rav Yosef the Shabbos about the fact that he was blind, because we were doing the sugya before Mincha about Dvarim Shebe Alpe Yata, no, Dvarim Shebe Chsav Yata Rashai La Omran Ba Alpe, that based on the pasuk from last week's parsha. That Hashem says that Dvarim Shabiksav, the things that are written in the Torah should not be said out, should not be read by heart, shouldn't be said by heart, and the things that are Baal Peh, Torah Shabal Peh, should not be written down. We know that Torah Shabal Peh has been written down, right? Because Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was worried that people would forget it. So the Gemara says, Eit Lasos La Hashem, Iperu Torah Techa, that when the Torah is going to be nullified, we have to do something. We have to even violate the Torah in order to save it. But we don't see the opposite. We don't see that it says anywhere that Dvarim Shebiksav Atarashayla Omran Baal Peh. Because the Torah doesn't need that, so there's no reason to violate it. So there's a big question about how we can sometimes read Psukim by heart, not reading them inside. So for instance, Kriya Shema that we say. Right? We don't read it from inside. How can you do that? So there's a lot of different answers the whole shiur about halach l'maisa, how we do it. The short answer for that is that if it's something that everybody knows baal peh, like really well, if it's shagur b'fiv, the Shulchan Aruch says, then it's okay. But the reason why I mention it now is because one of the proofs for the fact that you really aren't allowed to is that Rav Yosef never quotes psukim. It's always kidim etargem Rav Yosef. Because he's blind. Because he's blind. Now what's funny is that if you look, the Mishnah Berurah clearly doesn't agree with this. The Ritva says that. But the Mishnah Berurah clearly doesn't agree with that, because on the Halach and Shulchan Aruch he says, but a blind person can read any pasuk he wants, eight lasot l'Hashem epiru Torah techa. It's a big chiddush. Because basically the Gemara never said that. The Gemara never said that that it works both ways. But he thinks that a blind person can say psukim. He ignores the Ritva about Rav Yosef only being Matargin. But that's why I mentioned the fact that Rav Yosef is blind. I don't know, that's how we got here. It's my Rav Rosner moment, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it came up in Gittin just now.
Yeah, it did. And in Parshas Kitisa.
It's one of those another Samach, magical, yeah. The same parashah, same topic.
Yeah, there you go.
It's freaky out. So.
Another great thing over there, by the way, that I noticed is the Chassam Sofer says that Bichlal, the whole thing doesn't apply. The whole thing doesn't apply. Why? Because what does it mean, Dvar Mishab Iksavi Atar Hashay La'omran Baal Peh? So that means you have to read them, right? Read them from what? So almost all the Rishonim and Achronim say, no, it just means read them from a Chumash, read them from whatever. But the Chassam Sofer says, no, you have to read it from a Sefer Torah. So he says, that obviously you can't do. Anytime you want to quote a pasuk, you have to read it from a Sefer Torah? That's impossible. So he says, the whole thing is Eis Lasos L'Hashem Epiru Torah. He says, the whole thing is off. The whole bet is off because nobody can carry on the Sefer Torah with them all day, so nobody's going to learn any Torah Shebichsav? Impossible. So it must be that the whole thing has been thrown out. Interesting.
But once upon a time they could?
What?
Once upon a time they could? I mean, why should that have been
any? I guess the implication is that one time anybody who really wanted to, yeah, that they could.
And these days walk
them.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not allowed to write portions of it. You're not allowed to. It's a whole other thing.
That's where the halacha came in, about whether they could write portions.
Why do you have to write a Sefer Torah? Why does a person have to write a whole Sefer Torah?
Because you can't write half.
Where's the chiyuv to write a Sefer Torah come from?
End of the Torah.
Parshas Ha'azinu, it says, Va'ata kitzvu lachem et ha'shirah hazot. Right? What's Shir Hazot?
Just that Shira.
So the Rambam says it's Shir HaSazinu, obviously. But he says, but there's a halacha that you're not allowed to write Parshios. You're not allowed to write part of the Torah. So if you have to write Shir HaSazinu, you have to write everything. Now, not everybody agrees with the Rambam that that's the... Many just say, no, Shira refers to the whole Torah. Because one of the problems would be is that that's another thing that was annulled. We are allowed to write Parshios now. So according to the Rambam, maybe I could get away with just writing Parshios HaSazinu and then that's all. But I've never seen anybody say that. Could be somebody does, but I've never seen it. Yeah. So, where were we? Right. So, it's better to have a chova than it is to have a rishus. And that's why the Shabbos is allowed to sit down with them.
So he takes for granted that they want to
have he a says, too bad. He says, it's always better to have a mitzvah, and I don't really care.
Right.
Take
for granted that they would
want. Yeah. That's what... Rashi's implication is, nicha lehu. It sounds like it's better for them. Yeah. Granted, the Gemara says, maybe it just means they don't have to invite him. But the implication is that they want him to do it, because it's better for them.
Within,
if they would say no, I wonder if the halacha would be the same.
Specifically,
it seems. Yeah.
Well, it's strange, it's against their will. So, clearly for this.
So I don't know. I don't know if it's against their will or just without them actually asking. I wonder if they, it's against their will. I don't know. Not sure. Not sure. Okay.
Quick question, just a technical question on the price, because Matthew mentioned, he said, Yeah, it's a funny construct. But that's been, it's a construct that breaks, it's just, that was just an example.
The idea that you should try to be mechayev yourself?
No, no, not the concept, but the example with the waiter.
Yeah, what about it?
So that example is just being, it's just a construct that's being brought as...
I'm not sure what you mean.
I meant about who's initiating the getting, doing the mitzvah in the best way. You know, he's looking out that they should do the mitzvah in the best way. That was a...
Call Yisrael.
Rather than them
initiating.
That's an interesting question. That's a brighter, right? That's been...
Yeah, I think so.
So what?
Tashma.
That's just...
about this.
No, obviously, but I'm just thinking, where does that come from? Sorry.
It's a separate bracer. That was a tradition that they had, which informs us about this halacha.
Okay.
Yeah. It stands on its own. Okay. Tashma, another attempt. So we haven't proved yet. We haven't proven yet whether or not you can actually have a zimun with two. In theory, at this point, you could have a zimun with two people, rishus, and three is a chova. Tashma, nashim mezamnos la'atzman. You'll love this proof. The Baisa says that women can have a zimun by themselves. We said that they couldn't in the Mishnah. But we'll get back to it. Va'avadim mezamnin la'atzman. So women make a zimun to themselves, and avadim make a zimun to themselves. Three of each, obviously. Nashim va'avadim ketanim imratzu lezamein ein mezamnin. But women and avadim together, and ketanim, all the mishmash, they don't. They can't do a zimun. Okay, what does that tell us? So the Gemara says, but wait a second, v'hameh nashi ketrei gafri damya. But in halacha, 100 women is basically like 2 men. Now, what does that mean? Is it making a judgment on women, or no? Is it merely just saying that in terms of these halachot, 100 is like 2? The truth is that. That this is actually said, I was going to say, in the context of Eidos, but it's not Eidos, right?
It says no. Nashim Mezamnos. It doesn't say Chayavos Mezamen. It says...
Yes, that's right.
So it gives
sounds like Rishut.
Excellent. Now, does that matter?
It's Rishut.
Yeah, but it's talking about 3 over here.
No, because we said in the Mishnah that they can.
That's why
we have to get back to that, yeah.
That proves 2 men are Rishut.
So good. So I mean, but that would work, Matt, because nashim mezamnos la'atzman. So you want to say it's rishus? Fine. So it's 2. So this is a proof that 2 can. This is the first one we've seen where it's a proof that 2 can. Because if 100 women are like 2 men, that means that 2 men can and they are allowed to do zimun by themselves. So that means that 2 men can do zimun by themselves as well, even if it is just a rishus.
Why are they like 2 men for eidos?
What?
Why are they like 2 men?
No, it's not eidos. Forget it. I made a mistake. They're like 1 for eidos.
So we're using it to say that women are rishus, the bench, it's like two men.
Yeah. So
we're using it to say that
2 men
it could just be that with the best of the world, 100 is still just like 2, i.e. it's not shlosh she'ah.
Yeah,
no, it
is
like rishus, but it's insufficient for it to be.
I wouldn't say that.
No. It's not a chova. It's definitely not. It's not like 3 men.
Yeah, but that's not saying that it's like 2 and therefore it's rishus.
Well, nobody says that 2 men are chayav. Nobody would say that because the Mishnah says the opposite.
Right, but it's not clear that 2 are rishus either.
No, it's not, but it is clear.
And therefore, when the next case is bringing is about...
No, but it is clear that 100 women are rishus.
What it's saying is that 100 women are just like 2 men.
Right, but
2 men we know can only be rishus.
At best, but it could also not be... It could also not...
It could be nothing. It could be nothing. But it says that women can do a zimun. So how could it be nothing?
If 2 women can, for sure 100 can. And if 100 is like 2 men, then it's 2 men can. But it's all...
So that's the first attempted proof for that.
That is
rishus. That 2 are allowed to do rishus. So that sounds like they could. So then the response to that is Shani Hacha Hasam Dika Deos. So he says, no, that's different. That's just saying that women should that's different because in the halacha of Zimun, women 100 women are not like 2 men. Dika Deos, Rashi says, Dafagav Dilinin Chova Einan Chayavos Linin Rishus Deos Shlosha Chashivi. Lahodos tfei mishnei anashim, the ika mishum gadu lashem iti. He says, for Zimun, it's true that for Zimun, they are just like three men. That's what he says.
No, five.
They're like three men. The Ikadams, they're like three men. Rashi says they're not chayev. You're right. Rashi says they're not chayev. He says they're allowed to do zimun, but they're not chayev, but it needs to have three. Because Rashi says, because you still need to fulfill the pasuk of gadu l'Hashem iti. So that's non-negotiable. In other words, they got out of that proof. So we still haven't proven one way or the other.
So then how can two men be...
Because we've just unproved it.
Well, we haven't proven one way or the other.
Okay.
Yet. Okay. We're still on our way. Ihachi masefa nashim v'abadim v'matzo l'zamnin ein mezamnin. Aye, but then what about our Mishnah, which says that if women and slaves want to do a zimun, they're not allowed to? Amaylo? Vahika deos. But they could get together and they could do it. There's deos. Why can't women... You know, two women and one eved. Why can't they do a zimun? If three people, shaniyasa mishum pritzusa. No, that's a separate problem. That, technically, maybe they could, but we don't want the women getting together with the avadim for meals, so we don't allow it. Well, theoretically, though, it sounds like it's okay. It works, but we don't allow it. So now we're still stuck. We don't know who's right. Not only do we not know who's right, though, we don't even know who said what. Right? If you remember going back, it's Rav and Rav Yochanan, and we don't know who said which one. It would help if we did, because, well, if we would find out who said what would we do? Well, then we could use some of the rules to say how we pasken. Right? So
we still have, we never confronted how we overcome the one that says two Rashut is okay, how that fits with the Pesukim, which implies from the Pasuk that there's three.
I guess it would say, that Pasuk was talking about Chova, not talking about Rashut. So this time the Rav, so they say it must be Rav who said imratzel zamin ein mezamnin. Must be Rav who said that they can't. Damar Rav Dimi bar Yosef amar Rav shlosha shach lukachas v'yatsa achad mehem lashuk korin lo umezamnin alav. Because Rav did say that if you have three people who are eating together, and one of them goes to the market, leaves the meal, korin lo umezamnin alav. You call out to him. No, you call out to him, and where he is, as we're going to see, you call out to him, and he joins your zimun. Right? It's time to do the zimun. You call out. He's like, you know, in the storefront browsing. You call out to him, and you say, "Hey, we're going to do a zimun now." And he would respond. Time the korin lo, halo korin lo, lo. The first thing that we learn from this, though, is two people can't do it, because if they could. Then they would just go on without him.
But in a different level.
No, because if they were three and he's got a chiv.
So
he walked away, he's got a chiv. He sat down, there are three of them, they've got a chiv. Now one gets up and walks off, you've got to call him to join in.
Shani Hasam Dik Fahulu Bachova Meikara. That's different because they did have a chov. They had a chov, they had three people. So it's a whole different ball game, as you said. Right? They had three people, so they need to get three people at the end. Ella, the opposite. Testayim, the Rav Yochanan who damer imratzel zamin im nizam. No, it's Rav Yochanan who said that you can't damer. Rav Chana, Rav Yochanan, shnayim shachlu kachas, echad mehen yotzei bebirkas chaveira. If two people are eating together, one of them can be motzi the other. V'havenan ba. And let's take a look at this. Let's examine this. Mai kamash malan. What is it teaching us? Tinyana shama velo ana yatza. We already know that if you hear somebody making a bracha, even if you didn't answer, you still can be yotze with them. You don't have to say amen to be yotze with them. So we already know that if two people are sitting together and one of them makes the bracha, berkat hamazon, let's say, and the other one hears it, he's yotze. So what is Rav Yochanan telling us when he says Shnayim Shachlu Kaachas Echad Mehem Yotze BeBerkas Chaveira? We already know that. Why is Rav Yochanan Amora repeating it? Amar Rabbi Zeira Lomar Shein Berkas Azimun Beinehem Tistayim. Rabbi Zeira jumps in and says, It must be that Rav Yochanan is being consistent with himself, and what he's saying is that they don't have to, that they are not allowed to do a Zimun with just two. So all of that just to get to here. Because it says if two people together eat together, one of them can be yotze with the other one. It doesn't say anything about doing a Zimun.
So he's benching his yotze, his friend, they're not doing his Zimun.
Right. Amalei Rabba Bar Chana Bar Rav Huna, the Rav Huna. The Rabbanah Da'asu Mima Rava Amri Imratz El Zamin Mizamin. But wait a second! Wait! In Israel, they do it. They do a two-person zimun. Mima Rava. My love, the Shmuel Umi Rav Yochanan. They probably heard that from Rav Yochanan because Rav Yochanan was in Israel. So that's probably where they got it from. Lo, the Shmuel Umi Rav Mikmei Denachis LeBavel. No. Rav used to live in Israel. And then he went to Bavel. So before he went to Bavel, that's what he used to teach. So they wanted actually to, a little bit of academic Bible. They wanted to say, oh, it was Rav Yochanan, he was in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav was in Bavel, so for Eretz Yisrael, they do it like that. It must be they learned it from Rav Yochanan. So they say, no, not so fast. Rav also spent some time in Eretz Yisrael.
So there's no conclusion for us.
No, there is. Because Rav Yochanan wins. Once we establish that it's Rav Yochanan, so then we know what to do.
Halacha is Rav Yochanan.
Yeah. The halacha is almost always like Rav Yochanan. Okay. We'll return to that soon, but let's finish the Gemara. Gufa, we're going to re-examine something we already brought up. Amar Avdimi Bar Yosef Amarav Shlosha Shachlu Kachas Uyatzah Achad Mehem Lashuk. Right, we saw this before. Three people are eating, and one of them leaves to go to the store. What do they do? Korin Lo Mizam Din Alav. They call out to him, and he joins the Zimun. Amar Abaye Vehudu Kari Levani. That's only if they call out to him and he responds. In other words, you say Rabbi Sain of Arech, and he is standing over there, and he responds. Fine. Amar Marzutra v'lo Amar Nela v'shlosha. That only works when you have three people. Avo ba'asara ad denaisi. But when you have 10 people and you want to do a zimun with 10 people, you wait for him to come. In other words, with three people, this is why I said Stephen before that he doesn't have to come. With three people, he can be over there, and we're over here. He just has to respond. But with 10 people, he needs to come and sit.
But three can stand as well. He doesn't have to sit.
Yeah, seems like it. Maskif Laravashi. What kind of question is a maskif? An attacking question from logic. A Ramin who is from the same level. Maskif Laravashi. Adaraba. He says, what are you talking about? Ipchamistabra. I told you it's from logic. Right. Says, the opposite makes sense. Tisha nirin kasara. Shnayim ein nirin kishlosha. Says, it makes sense if you tell me that with 9 people it's good enough if he's staying over there. With 10 people it's good enough if we have 9 here and 1 over there. Because anyways, 9, 10, you know how hard it is to count 10 people. People make mistakes. I used to do it like 3 times when you're not sure if you have a minion, just to make sure you got it right. Right? But with 3 people, if you only have 2 people at the table, and then the third guy is all the way over there, somebody walking by will see, hey, 2 people, Zimun. Isn't that Machlokes Rav and Rav Yochanan? Don't we pass like Rav Yochanan? What are you doing? Right? But with 10 people, somebody will walk by and say, okay, they're doing a Zimun with, Shem Hashem. Must be there's 10. They won't really know that there's only 9. So it makes sense the opposite. Should be more makbid that the 10th person should come sit, that the third person should come sit down than the 10th person. But then the Gemara says, V'hilchas HaGemara Zutra. But the halacha is that way. It's a weird sequence. The Gemara says, Ibcha Mistabra, V'hilchas HaGemara Zutra. Gemara Zutra is the one who said the original point. So how does it work? So the answer is, my time. Kevin the Bailat Kuri Shem Shemayim Batzir Me'asara Lavor Achara. Says because the point is that with 10 people you end up saying Shem Hashem. You do not say Shem Hashem with less than 10 people. It doesn't matter if it looks like 10 people. You can't say Shem Hashem without 10 people there. Lavor Achara. What? Not Elokeinu. That's a pasuk. No, it's a regular pasuk.
Okay.
Amar Abaye Naktinan Shnaim Shachlu Ka'achas Mitzvah Lichalik. Then Abaye jumps in and he says, actually, not only can you not have a Zimun, if you have two people eating together, they should separate and say two different brachos. Tani Rami Hachi, why? Shnaim Shachlu Ka'achas Mitzvah Lichalik, Bamed Rami Marim, Kisheshneim Sofrim. Ah, when should they separate and say two different brachos? When they're both Tamei Chachamim, meaning when they know Birkat HaMazon, when they know both know how to do benching. Aval Echad Sofer, Echad Bor, Sofer Mevarech Bor Yotze. But if the circumstance was, and they didn't have, keep in mind, they didn't have like, you didn't go to a wedding and like take home three benchers back then. They didn't have that, right? Benchers were like scrolls. So if you didn't know Birkat HaMazon by heart, then you didn't bench. And if you didn't bench, so then you have to hear it from somebody else, right? This is the invention of Chazar Sashatz as well. Why do we have Chazar Sashatz? Because there are people who didn't know, and they needed to be Yotze with the Chazan by listening.
Well, presumably, you know, the Chazan has changed. So,
yeah, but we have benchers now, and we're much more literal. We're literate. You can keep in mind, most Jews back in the day were illiterate.
Well, the kids who can't read now, we've got Chazan behind. So I'm saying, today.
Because our schools are so much better.
They are much better. They are much better.
No,
our schools are much better than the schools they have.
What? The kids learn.
Which school?
Yeah.
I agree.
Our schools, no matter what, are much better than the schools they had.
Difficult for me. Wow, in a 4 and 5 year old
every single one of our kids learns how to read.
I'd like to point out my kids still got the same original equipment.
They didn't learn to read. Some of them didn't learn to read at all.
But they still know it by heart today before they learn to read.
Because they have people to teach them. They didn't necessarily have people to teach. These kids, they didn't go to school.
Oh, my gosh.
Went down the mines.
They were working. They were.
If I was lucky,
all the kids are today. I wouldn't believe it.
Most of these kids, they had the institute schools. So that applies. So the idea over there is that really, ideally, we should not do this. We should not be yotze with somebody else. Shouldn't be able to with somebody else for a bracha. The exceptions to that are when you're in a suffix situation where you don't know if you should make a bracha or not, right? You look in the Halachas of Brachas book, and all the suggestions are if you don't know if you had enough to eat, you don't know if you left the room and then you came back and you don't know if you really should make a bracha anymore. So those are the situations where you can listen to somebody else's bracha in order to be yotze.
Depends if Ashkenazi.
It could be. But in general, we should be making our own brachas. The exception being, you know, Shabbos, let's say. Like you know, when you do Hamotzi at the beginning of the meal, you only do that on Shabbos. You don't really do that during the week very often. You're not really supposed to. You're supposed to make your own bracha.
Just to ask a nothing question. The whole idea that he mentions about the Shamashi in the Mishnah, and he speaks about the volume of Kazayis, is definite before actually they'll bring in the Kazayis. The Machlok is afterwards about whether it's Kazayis or Kabeza. Is that unusual, rather than first saying it's
Kazayis,
and therefore that's halacha, and then bringing the case of the Shamash?
The Shamash? You mean, you're talking about the Mishnah?
Just a question on the Mishnah. You got the Shamash, they say that he's quantity, and then only afterwards it actually speaks about the Vez Machlokes, what is his sufficient quantity.
Oh, he says Pachus Kazayis, and then that. Is it strange that they do that?
That's a nothing question.
No, I don't think it's so strange. No.
Then why there would there need to be like it seems to be really established?
I mean, presumably, no, because they'll say if you were bringing fires to the Mishnah, you'll say that's the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama thinks it's a Kazayis. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that premise. He would say that it would have to be a Kabeitza. The whole thing is Tanakhama. There's no name.
Yes.
There's a little more to the Gemara. I wanted to get to the Halacha Lameisa. Okay, so we'll do a tiny bit more. Amarava, Amel Samrisa Ana, Itmara Mishmeid Rabbi Zera Kavase. Rava says, I used to say this, and then I heard that Rabbi Zera said the same thing, just like me. Shlosha shachlu ka'achas, echad mafsik l'shnayim. Says the rule is that if there are three people eating together, and two of them want to bench, and they need to wait to make the zimun, so they can strong arm the third guy to bench with them so that they can have a zimun now. Because they have a meeting, they need to go, he doesn't have a meeting, but they can make him bench. However, vein shnayim mafsikin le'echad. But one person can't force two people. In other words, if he's stuck, he's stuck. There's nothing he can do. He has to wait for the zimun.
But why does it matter anyway? I mean, he can carry on eating afterwards anyway. He can answer the zimun and carry on.
No, he has to go. He has to leave.
No, I'm saying in the first case. Why do they have to force? Why does it matter if they force him?
Well,
so what?
He can carry on eating.
Yeah, the halacha is that he could. You're right. My brother does all the time. My brother, God bless him. I've never seen him finish with the rest of any cohort of people eating ever. He says, "Okay, let's bench," and then he continues eating. He says the first. He listens to the zimun, and then he continues eating. I've never, So you're right. He could keep eating, but here the situation is. With the one who needs to go, so he can't make them.
No, that's fine. Actually,
so they can do the same thing.
Why do they have to say, make a big thing out of it? They can force him to. Why would he object? I mean, he's
right. So the truth is, it's on the back of the sheet. We're not going to have time to do it, but there is one position that says that it could be that he has to say the whole benching, and then if he wants to continue eating, he has to go wash and start again. Which makes sense actually in context of the Gemara, because you have a good question. What's the big deal? But then it would be a big deal, and it also, you know, it makes a certain sense. He should have to bench with them. It's on the back of the sheet where Rishalvichik suggests it, but I think in the end he anyways rejects it. But then the Gemara says, aye, but if you have one who wants to bench, you can't force the other two. So the Gemara says, aye, velova ha Rav Papa, afsik le abba mar berei, ihu v'chad. But Rav Papa stopped for two people. And he was only, He forced. He forced two people to stop. Shani Rav Papa, the Lifnim Mishur Asadin, who, no, Rav Papa, Absikle, La Abba Mar Berei, Yuvachad. No, I think Rav Papa was able to stop two people. So the answer over there is Shani Rav Papa, the Lifnim Mishur Asadin, who, the Avad. No, for Rav Papa it was different because they did Lifnim Mishur Asadin for Rav Papa. They didn't have to, but they could. So in other words, one person is not able to stop two people, but they can stop if they want to for him. Okay?
Is Zimon answering or doing the whole benching?
Good question. It's definitely that first part, right? Of Rabos and Yavarech, right? For Ashkenazim, it's at least the whole first bracha. For Sfaradim, it's not.
Because it's the whole thing, or it's not even the first bracha?
No, it's not even the first
bracha. Because whether or not it's correct halachically, you probably know that two and an extra person, and they'll say, just the answer.
Yeah.
So in other
words, they don't have to. You don't have to say the bracha. Even Ashkenazim, you don't have to say the bracha, you have to listen.
Because
anyways, the proper way to do Zimun is at least to say, the Mezamin is supposed to say at least the first bracha out loud.
Yeah.
So everybody hears.
Yeah. So that
and everybody's supposed to answer Amen.
What,
that he has
because,
to...
Yeah, because the first two, in practice, what we would do is the first two would say, bench, we're leaving, we're going to bench, just answer.
There's actually only one bench and two answer.
No, but
not the first two.
No, but in the case I'm just talking about, a case where two are leaving, they say we're benching. You know, you just answer.
So right, and he says fine.
That'd be good.
But why wouldn't that be the case with one leaving and two staying?
That was.
So one would bench, rather side, and the other two would answer.
Yeah, that's what happened. That's what would happen.
That's only Rav Papa.
You can't force.
No, you can't force, but you can do it. Anybody can do it. People do. Thank you. That's what happens. Okay. Do we have? I davened already, but I'll wait.
This is just the answer.
Yeah.
We can get the waiter.
I already done, so you can't force me to. let's do a little bit of halacha lamaisa with our remaining time. So first, okay, yeah, so we'll jump straight to the Nashim. So if you turn the page over, Ahmed Beis. Does everybody have a sheet, by the way? Everybody have a sheet? The Makara sheets? Or not? You have Makara sheets?
Yeah, they have.
Okay. Okay, so actually look at the Gemara for a second. Look at the Gemara, Ahmed Beis for a second. Look at Tosis at the top. So yeah, so the first we'll do the first and the second. So the first one he points out, what did this mean when it said 100 is like 2? So hamei anashi ketrei gavri damyan linyan kibbutz tefila ulinyan kol davar shebaasara. Anytime you need 10 men, it's not going to work if you have 10 women. Vafilu hachi chashvin elu keshlosha vuadin l'shnayim. Aval lo matzilim emerkachad damyan. But they're not like one. Deinan yicholot lazamein. They're not like one that they can't do a zimun. Daktani nashim zamn l'atzman. You can't say that they're like one because even in this that portion of the Gemara that sequence. They could at least do it voluntarily. In other words, Rashi ends up saying that what the whole Gemara meant anyways was that they have the option of doing a Zimun. That's how Rashi takes the Gemara. And Tosas does as well. If you look at the next one, Shani Hasan Dikadeos, Mikan Mashma Denashim Yecholos Lazamin La'atzman. It sounds like women can do a Zimun for themselves. And he says that's what one of the Balei Tosfos, his daughters, they used to make a Zimun. Al pi avien. They used to do it. Umihu, however, lo nagu ha'olam. But the minag is that they don't. Lo nagu ha'olam kain. V'kasha amai lo nagu. But why? Midiktani mizamnos mashmed dekamar chayavas lezame. It sounds like, he thinks, then when it says mizamlos, it sounds like they have to, because why shouldn't they have to? If they can, they should have to, shouldn't they? In the end, we threw out the option that two men can do zimun. So there's no source for voluntary zimun. So if women can do zimun, they should have to do zimun. So he says, v'yesh lomar, that no, dinasha mizamlos la'atzman haynu imratzu lezamin mizamlos. He thinks, maybe it is voluntary. V'chein mashma k'tzatz aloshem yitani b'samoch, and that's what it sounds like. Nashim v'avadim imratzu lezamin ein mizamnin. Even if they want to, they can't. Vod de medam alei hagemara lishnayim, and it compares them to two men. Mashma de chov aleika. That at no point in time did they ever think that women were chayavos. Aye, but what about the Gemara in Erchin? Hakol mechuyavim bezimun. It says hakol. Whenever it says hakol, it means everybody, except for the people who are not at all included. But the women are included. Latuy inashem leinin reshus kamar. He says that's leinin reshus v'lo leinin chova. Even though it says mechuyavin. Even though it says hakol mechuyavin, he says, no, that means just that it's voluntary for them. It's a little bit dachok, isn't it? V'lo l'inichov v'nashim tzirch iyun im yotzos b'birkas zimun. He says, what about, though, if you have three women, and they want to do a zimun, but they're sitting with three other men, and the men do the zimun. Can the women
exclude themselves from the men and do their own?
Well, can they even stay with the men and say, we'll do... Let's say we assume that women are chayavos, they're obligated. Can they be yotze with the men?
Why not?
Me'achar she'ein mevinos. He says, because they don't understand. They don't understand what the men are saying. The kids were uneducated, the women were even less educated. They couldn't understand. Ve'esh mevin rayesh yotzos. He says, but I think they can. Because, remember we said, what do you do when two men are sitting together and one of them is ignorant and can't read? He just listens to the other guy. He also can't understand. So, and he can yotze. He can be yotze. So certainly the women should be able to. So he says, even worse, he says, Mikan mashem shavanashim yotzos. He says, miu yesh litchos otaraya. He says, we can reject that because at least the boor mevin b'lashon hakodesh. He knows Hebrew. V'yodek tzat my kamer. He knows a little bit. He just doesn't know how to make the bracha. They don't understand at all. So the women probably spoke Aramaic, and they didn't speak any Hebrew at all. They didn't speak any Hebrew. Why would they need to speak Hebrew? It wasn't the vernacular. That wasn't the language that they spoke. They spoke Aramaic. They spoke a different language. So why would they understand what was going on?
Yes.
So that's Tosos, okay? Now look, take a look at the Rush that I have on the sheet. He says, the Rush just starts off in the other direction. He says, Mashma hacha denashim chayavas bezimun. That they're obligated. Mizamdin la'atzman. V'tema shaloh anagukein. He says, I don't understand why they don't do it. Why don't the women do a zimun? He goes the same direction. He says, maybe it just means that it's voluntary. He goes around and he says, it sounds like it's anyways only voluntary. And then he quotes the Gemara in Erechin. But then he says, the last three lines are nearly high de'erchen al korchach l'chiyuvahu. It really is saying that they're obligated. They're in the same category as the other people listed in the Gemara. He says, I don't understand why we would be mechalik. There's no reason to be mechalik between women and men. This isn't a mitzvah sa'aseh shehazman grama that women are exempt from. It's berkat hamazon.
The other thing is that you can't binge in the afternoon if you had 8 in the morning. You know, there is a time when you're doing it. You can't go, oh, I remember 6 hours ago that I ate, let's go and...
What are you suggesting that it is? Zman Grama?
There is an element to it. If the guys are sitting in the afternoon and they go, right...
No, Zman Grama means that it's entirely dependent upon the hour of the day. It does not include cases. Zman Grama is not when you do something and then you have a limited amount of time to do the following thing, right? So this is actually a fascinating question. I'll give you one example. There's a Ramban that says that women are obligated in Sfirat HaOmer. It's a das yachid. It's a, you know, most don't assume that way. And the big question on the Ramban is, why would they be obligated? As for all, it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, if I ever heard one, right? It only applies during those 49 days. Why should they be obligated? So some answer, because if you assume that Tzvirasa Omer is counting from... No? When do we start counting Tzvirasa Omer? It's in the name. It's in the name. From Tzvirasa Omer. So what actually kicks off Tzvirasa Omer? Not the second day of Pesach. The Tzvirah itself. So some suggest... That's what it is. It's because it's not the time that causes Tzvirasa Omer, it's the act of Tzvirasa Omer. Now, most don't assume that way, but that's one of the explanations for the Ramban. Another place where that comes up is, why are women obligated in Tzvirah and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? In the Haggadah on Pesach night. It's also Mitzvot Tzaseh Shazman Gram. That doesn't work for Daraisas. Again, that doesn't usually apply to Daraisas. Either it doesn't apply to Daraisas or it doesn't obligate them.
Because it obligates in the other mitzvah of
matzah. So that's one answer. That's one answer, but it's not clear why that should work. In other words, that's one answer that's given. Another answer that's given is that, based on the fact that they are obligated in matzah, but also, when do you do the Haggadah?
When you have matzah before you.
Al matzah samorim yachluhu. In other words, it's not the night of Pesach that kicks it off. It's the night of Pesach that kicks off the matzah, and the matzah kicks off Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's a theory. Either way. So the Rush says that women are obligated in Zimun. So then why don't they? So we can skip the Beis Yosef for a second. We'll jump straight to the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, Nashim v'avadim v'ktanim eim mizamdin aleihem ava mizamdin la'atzman. We don't do it with them. In other words, you can't have two men and one woman, or one man and two women. You can't do that. But they can do it themselves. They shouldn't do it. But then he ends, by the way, uvavad shalo yizamdin b'shem. Even ten women can't say Elokeinu. So Dvarim Shabakdusha, you need a minion of men. But then there's the next sif, he says, Nashim Mizamnos La'atzman Rishos. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like Rashi and Tosfos, that it's optional. Aval kishochelos ochlos im hanashim chayavos viotas bezimun shalanu. This is another thing that women aren't usually so aware of. Once they're included in the meal with three men, they have a chiyuv. Even the Shulchan Aruch says they have a chiyuv.
Even if there's one of them.
Yeah. They're included in the zimun.
But you can't have two men and a woman.
No.
Why?
No.
They're not included for counting. But they're not.
It's like they become part of the zimun. Once there is a chova zimun, they're also obligated.
But why can't you include two men and a woman?
In theory, you could have.
Her obligation from Rashut to Chiyot.
In theory, you could have, but Pritzusa. Because we don't do that. We don't count the women and the men together in order to make the chaburah.
Is that also women and men, not only women and slaves? We said it before.
You're saying, what if you have four slaves? No, because I think then you have also pritzuta. No, but I don't know. No, because avadim, I think, can't do it anyway. I don't know. I'm not sure the status of avadim in this. What exactly? Because they can do it themselves. But is it rishus? I'm not sure. But either way, the Shulchan Aruch paskens on one hand that women don't have to, but once they're involved in a meal with three men who create the zimun obligation, they do. The Ramah jumps in and says, "Afa pishen an mivinos." Even if they don't understand, they still have to.
And that's halacha lemaaseh.
Yeah, the Mishnah. Yeah, well, not yet. The Mishnah Berurah says, "V'yotzos shekamosha hanashim motziim la'anashim kin hem motziim la'anashim." Just like the men can be motzi the other men. So they can also be motzi the women. However, v'ayim shulchan aruch agraz, that's not Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's, because sometimes it says grashaz, it's Rav Shneir Zalman. It's first Lubavitcher Rebbe, Alter Rebbe. So he says, shedatu shim ratzu ha'anashim lichalek mechaburas ha'anashim ulezamen b'fnei atzman ha'rashus b'adam. The woman can break away. Right? First of all, Rabbi Trevi said women can break away. Now, take a look at the Bir Halacha, which is also the Chavetz Chaim. He quotes Dat Hagra B'Biro Shehaikar Karosh Shehanashim Mezamnos La'atzman Chov Achalam Lo Nagu Ken. The Gra says that women are obligated to do a Zimun when three of them eat together.
What, to break away and do
Zimun? No, they don't have to break away and do Zimun. They can, but they don't have to. Although, what happens if you have three women and one man? What should happen then?
He should leave. No.
Well, he should answer.
He can answer. He can answer. They have it by themselves. They have it by themselves. You can't have two women and one man, but you can have three women and one man.
Does that make but he can answer?
Yeah.
Does it make it clear for him like it did for her with the Zimun of three men?
Hang on.
The guy can answer to three women?
I don't think
can
so.
Can he leave? No. He can't make the mezuzah.
That's what Matthew's asking. I don't think it's mechayev him. I don't think so.
All right, he can answer, but can he listen?
What if they sing it?
Why not?
Well,
he's worried about Kavisha.
They're not singing.
Huh?
They're not singing.
Am I?
They sing. What if they're his daughters? It doesn't matter. If they're his daughters, it doesn't matter.
Well, we just say...
How do they introduce it? I have seen it once in my life.
You've only seen it once.
We do not have every week.
I'm sure. I've encouraged many times, and I've only seen it once.
And can I have it at the same table? So the whole idea that you mentioned about chol, if you have three men and three women, you said the women are a part of the chol for the men doing it, but can they?
So
choose to separate out and say, you know, you guys do it, and then they will do it.
Shulchan Aruch Harav says that they can.
At the same table, they don't need to move elsewhere at the same table.
Or do they have to go somewhere else? Okay. I don't know.
They
can, and there's no issue with that. Yeah, I think so. The Shulchan Aruch Harav says it's okay. And the Shmura quotes it, sounds like he thinks it's okay. But that's only one big issue. I think the next issue is the bigger one. What happens if you really, really, you don't have time to do a Zimun? Because, by the way, the halacha is that if you have three, you need to wait, right? You need to do a Zimun. If you have 10, you need to wait for 10. Once you have 3, so you can do with 3. 6, you could do with 3. 7, you could do with 3. 8, you could do with 3. If you have 6, you can break into 2 threes. But once you have 10, you need 10.
You so can't. Do you need 10 ready, or do you need the same way as 2 when they call the guy from the shuk just answer? And it, or
no, the guy you called from the shuk was eating with you before.
The Seder. So you've got 10. They don't have to all be ready to bench.
No, he has to come. No, yeah, you could do like some of them are benching, some of them are not.
Okay.
But you have to be sitting there. Okay. When does this come up?
Eat them together.
At a wedding.
Weddings, all the time at weddings. So there's two answers to that.
What does it mean, achlu kechat, to begin with?
What?
What does it mean, achlu kechat, to begin with?
What do you think?
Maybe one benched at this time, another one, so another washed at this time, another one washed 10 minutes later, another washed half an hour later. So maybe they didn't.
Right.
The food's come from the same kitchen.
No, no, Mayer is making a great point. There are two ways out. There are two ways out of the wedding. The two ways out of the wedding. First, look at the Shulchan Aruch. It says, afilu lo hukvu mitchila kulam lechol yachad. Even if they did not sit down to eat together at the beginning. Let's say two of them sat down to eat and then a third one came. Or one was eating and two came. They cannot break up. Since they finished together, they can't separate. However, if they're eating together, not bekfiyut, so what does that mean? Im yochal imayim b'lo keva, shayim lechalik. Ah, that's if like they're not, you know, if they're
you keep moving from table to table.
If you know, if you're eating in a restaurant, you know, and you're sitting here and they're sitting there and another person, that's not a zimun. That's not a zimun. You're not eating together. Umikol makom, the Ramah says, afilu. You still should. Right, I had a fantasy that at some point in HP, I was just going to get up in the middle of the lunchroom and just yell out, "Rabbi Osef Avarech," and see what happened. Never got a chance to do it.
So that's the way out of the wedding. That it's the
no, not yet. Table? No, we didn't get out of it yet. No, because you're going to have at least 3 at your table and probably 10.
3, but not necessarily 10.
Yeah, and also, by the way, it's not the same thing as a restaurant because you're really all eating together. You just happen to be sitting at different tables. At a restaurant, you're at different parties. But here, you're all the same party. It's not going to do it. That's why you're, you know. Here's one way out of it. The Mishnah Berurah says, "Begemar ha'achila." You guys didn't pick up on it. He said, since they finished at the same time. Since they ate at the end together, "Umash mamizeh ha'im lo gamru." If they didn't finish together, "gam sof achila b'yachad." If they didn't finish the b'yachad, "kagon sheba echad le'echol etzal shnayim achar shekvar hitchilu le'echol." If one person came to sit with two other people after they'd already started eating, "v'gam gamru sudasan shelo b'zman echad," and they finished eating at different times, "otan shegamru mikodem b'shayim levarech b'fnei atzman." If you had different start times and different end times,
that's not really going to happen.
Yes, it will. I make my way in as fast as I can right after the chuppah. I wash. I sit down. I start eating my bread. Right before everybody else comes in.
Starting alone.
And then everybody comes in. And then I say I'm going to leave early. So I finish eating and I bench by myself. It's one way out. The other way out, which I assume is what everybody does, if you look in the Rav Moshe Feinstein, so he says, "Yesh eitz akala." There's an easy way out. The elu arotzim shalol v'chakot like tomorrow siudav v'shaver brachos yomer v'feirush kodim sheyashu lechol shein miskavnin litzdarif. They should say at the beginning. He says they should say out loud b'feirush that they're not. They have intention not to be mitzdarif l'kviyut im shar hamesubin. We're not eating together for a zimun. Shaz av shiyosh from Mishochan Echad Lomis Chayev Zimun.
How does Mechlokes start again? Something to be clear, I'm not eating with them. I'm not with you guys.
You can also pass on the bread. You can also pass on the bread.
Something to be clear, we'll eat.
Now, but how do we know that this works? Why should this work? Shouldn't it be automatic? Shouldn't once you sit down with people, shouldn't that mean that you're being kovayasu?
Negative kavana.
But negative kavana works for not doing a mitzvah that I'm doing something. But why?
Because they didn't really choose to drop with us. They were seated together, but they didn't actually choose to go and sit down and eat a meal.
It's not about the specific people. You're sitting and eating a meal with a whole room of people.
It happens to be the same.
But that's not true. But that's not true. You are eating together.
You put the people in Chayim, then you can't possibly be eating with them.
So he actually quotes a proof. He quotes a proof from the Rama, who says that if you go to the house of a non-Jew, you don't do a zimun in a non-Jew's house. Why? Because there you're going to say Harachaman Yivarech Bal Abayis. You're going to say, and that, so it's clear that there, you don't intend to say that, so you're going to each say the bracha to yourself. So I remember actually, when Rabbi pointed out that you shouldn't say that bracha unless you're eating with the zimun, and I actually didn't know that this must be where he got it from. So he says that clearly, you're not doing kviyas over there. And so that's a source for the idea that you could be eating together but not eating together. He says, so just like you could do it, it could happen passively, it could happen actively. He also quotes a Magen Avraham who says the same thing. That if you're eating, Sudam of Seket. Right? When you sit down to eat on Tisha B'Av and you have three people on Erev Tisha B'Av, the minhag is you even if you have three people eating together, three people in the room, you don't say a zimun.
But don't you eat?
But how?
Don't you sit and eat separate? I mean, don't you dafka make sure you're not eating together?
Right.
So the
Magen Avraham says af ba'achlu shlosha biyachad, even if they did eat together, bekfius so the masekas lo yizamnu mitam de lo chashev kfius mishum dein datam likva, because they don't intend. So Moshe Feinstein says just like on erev Tisha B'Av. It happens as a halachic reality. You know, you don't intend to eat b'kriyas, and we understand why, because you don't want to do a zimun. So he says you can create that every time you go to the wedding by just having in mind beforehand. Now, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump to say that people are doing that implicitly, which is always a question for me. When we know that you can do something explicitly, and we know that everybody really intends to do that, does it actually have to really be explicit? It seems like it doesn't. That it's good enough that people just have in mind when they go to a wedding that they know that they have to leave early. You don't have to say it out loud that you're going to be leaving early. Shkoyach. Oh, it died? No, it didn't die.